The committee is honored to have with us Senator Grassley and Senator Harkin to introduce Congressman Nussel. Senator Grassley, we welcome you and look forward to your statement now.
Thank you, and I would appreciate both my off-the-cuff remarks as well as my statement be printed in the record.
Without objection.
Thanks to both you and Senator Collins for your leadership here in entertaining this nomination, and I notice you're very ecumenical on this committee, how you sit Republicans among Democrats.
Yeah.
The public would be shocked if they saw that. This is a very important nomination, and I'm sure I'm going to say some things that will embarrass Congressman Nussel, but I think they're important so you know that our relationship. When I was running for the Senate the first time, he was a student at Luther College, and he drove me around in his old Ford to help me get elected, so I feel some obligation for early support of my candidacy. Secondly, you know, I have five children, and they all hated politics because I spent so much time at it. So I always thought, well, it'd be nice to have somebody like me in the United States Senate. So when he ran for the Congress, I backed him, and I considered him kind of a little Grassley. And I made that point very clear when I was at breakfasts for him in what was in the 3rd District of Iowa. But I think he has grown to be a very qualified public servant. And I'm proud that I worked for him, as I hope he's proud that he worked for me that first time. He has come to Washington then, I think, following some of those principles he campaigned on to be a wise steward of taxpayers' money. Very early in his congressional career, he took that responsibility very seriously. I think he worked hard to ferret out wasteful and unnecessary federal spending, and if confirmed, and for the president, not for himself, I think he would continue that same thing as OMB director. You know, being chairman of the House Budget Committee puts you in the middle of budgeting, so you understand it. I think that he followed on his early Senate career as one example, working real hard with the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, in which he worked to save the taxpayers $40 billion in that. He also understands that the federal budget process can be improved, and I think he demonstrated that by chairing the bipartisan task force in the late 1990s, developing a bipartisan initiative that's obviously not law, but he worked with one of our colleagues now, then Congressman Ben Cardin, to do that. With this project, he demonstrated his ability to work across the aisle and develop bipartisan projects, and that's going to be very, very important. As the president has one opinion, Congress might have another opinion. He's the go-between that's going to have to bring common sense to both extremes, and I think he can do that. And I think maybe the bipartisanship is shown also by the fact that now Chairman Spratt, but then Ranking Member Spratt, intends to testify before the Senate Budget Committee in support. Given Congressman Nussel's experience, knowledge, and commitment to public service, I think it's very fitting that the president nominating, I think you're going to find a very high qualified candidate as he responds to your questions here, and you become better acquainted with him. And if there's anything you want to know that I haven't told you about his other than public life, I can discuss that with you too.
Thank you. In open session.
In open session.
Thanks very much, Senator Grassley. And I cannot help but comment that this little Grassley has grown to be a mighty Nussel.
Yeah.
Interesting play on words.
Senator Harkin, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senator Collins, other members of the committee. I'm pleased to join with my senior colleague from Iowa in introducing Congressman Jim Nussel to this committee. And I'm sure members of the committee already appreciate Congressman Nussel is superbly qualified to take on the job of the Director of the Office of Management and Budget. First elected to represent Iowa's 1st Congressional District in 1990, served for 8 terms. Joined the House Budget Committee in January of 1995, elected chairman in January of 2001, a position he served in for the next 6 years. Congressman Nussel is a recognized and well-respected genuine expert on the budget and a master of the budgeting process. Now, I've known Jim, and I've worked with him and against him for 16 years. And I can tell you, in those 16 years of my running and his running, I can tell you, I've searched my memory, and I can tell you never once can I think of any one time when Jim Nussle ever in my campaigns or others ever did anything untoward or underhanded or even anything bordering on the unethical. He's a tough campaigner, don't get me wrong. He's a tough guy, but you know where he's coming from, and he is always above board. He is a skilled and savvy operator. He is a very hard worker. Again, I can attest to that. He's a straight shooter whose word is his bond and who can be counted on to follow through with the commitments he makes. As chairman of the budget committee, he reached out to the majority and minority members, gave everyone a very fair hearing. In addition, Congressman Nussle will bring to the job an impressive array of political skills. I think I can attest to that, too. He is accessible. He is an excellent communicator. He's a formidable advocate for the causes he believes in. And if I can be a little bit parochial here, the things that we have agreed on and have fought very hard for in the past are things that help rural America. Here's a great spokesman for and advocate for people who live in small towns and rural America, our farm families all over this country, not just Iowa. He's been a strong supporter of agriculture for all the years he's been here. And again, maybe I'm speaking a little bit parochial here, but, you know, we don't have a lot of clout. Well, except for Grassley and a few others around here. In agriculture, in the Congress, our numbers have dwindled. But Congressman Nussle always made sure that he watched out for and made sure that in the budgets that came through that our farm families and people that live in small towns under Warner were represented in those budget debates. But one other thing that I have admired Congressman Nussle for in the past and his budget work is his support for renewable energy. I mean, all the things that we have to do to become energy independent in this country, and it's not just ethanol, it's everything else, whether it's wind energy, all these other things, Congressman Nussle has been really in the forefront of that fight. And I think we need someone like that as the head of the budget committee, who really can see the future and see what we need in terms of renewable energy. So I'll just close by saying, as members of different political parties, Jim Nussle and I have often disagreed on principles and priorities. That's the way it ought to be. But in Jim Nussle, the president has chosen a person of exceptional intelligence, competence, and experience. I urge the committee members to send his nomination to the full Senate with a positive recommendation. I hope we can act on it before we leave for the August break. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Harkin. Congressman Nussle, it obviously speaks very well of you that Senator Grassley and Senator Harkin have both been here to introduce you. I thank them both. Obviously, I know they're both very busy, so we thank them for their presence. And feel free to leave at any time that your schedule requires you to. Thank you. Congressman Nussle has filed responses to a biographical and financial questionnaire, answered pre-hearing questions submitted by the committee, and had his financial statements reviewed by the Office of Governmental Ethics. Without objection, this information will be made a part of the hearing record, with the exception of the financial data, which are on file and available for public inspection in the committee offices according to the committee's custom. Our committee rules require that all witnesses at nominations give their testimony under oath. Congressman Nussle, would you please stand and raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give the committee will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you very much. Please be seated, and please proceed with your statement, including we invite you to introduce any members of your family who are here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and Ranking Member Collins and Senators, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today and for the introduction. I appreciate the opportunity to testify and to be considered. I want to thank you both for the time that you have given me in these past weeks for personal conversations, as well as a number of members on this committee and throughout the Senate. I appreciate the advice and counsel. The chairman spoke very eloquently about the challenge that we find ourselves in. And I can report to each one of you that was a challenge that was felt in a bipartisan way in every conversation that I had. many nominees are given the luxury of coming before you at possibly calmer times in our history and during the cycle. This is not one of those times. Judging from the rhetoric, picking up the newspaper, I understand that. But I also enjoy a challenge. I'm an optimist. I'm someone who likes to dive right in and tackle tough problems. And I'm very interested in doing that on behalf of the president, and also with a, I believe, a unique understanding of the, not only the budget process, but maybe more importantly, how Congress works. I will not suggest to you, as I've told you in private, that I understand the Senate possibly as well as I understand the House. Former colleagues that have served with me in the House that have come over to the Senate have reported back that it's a little different in the Senate. So it's one of those parts of the job that I hope to continue to learn with your advice and counsel. But I very much look forward to continuing our dialogue, our discussions, our meetings on a regular basis. I also want to thank my two home state senators. My dad, Senator Grassley, you know, it's funny, he told that story and on the campaign trail about when he was campaigning for me about the fact that he had hoped that a son, it's a story that has tickled me ever since. He isn't always that way when we have disagreements, I will say, but he treats me very respectfully and has always been there as a mentor, and I appreciate that. And Senator Harkin, wow, I wish he was here for me to say thank you again in public, because he's right. You know, we don't, and many of us aren't going to agree on every single thing, but there's a way to do it. And the chairman mentioned it, I think, so well. And it's this whole notion, we hear about it, this you can disagree without being disagreeable. And boy, we need that. We really need that. Because we are passionate about what we believe. Each and every one of us come with background, philosophies, upbringing, principles that we fought hard to get here. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have that. But there's a way to do it. And as the chairman spoke of compromise, we don't have an Iowa compromise in history that I can think of. And we probably, like many people from Missouri, are accused of being stubborn. There's a song about Iowa stubborn, and sometimes that precedes us. But it's passion. It's not partisanship. It's passion. And I think you can be passionate without having necessarily to be partisan in the negative sense of that word, and I believe I can do that. So I thank Senator Harkin for the tone that he set that suggests that even though Senator Harkin and I have had our differences on public policy, we're able to sit next to each other and have this kind of discussion and discourse, and I'm proud of the service that they've provided our state. I'd also like to thank your staff, Mr. Chairman, and Ranking Member Collins. They interviewed me this past week, and I enjoyed that session. I have a feeling they weren't as tough on me as you all will be, but it was a good beginning to the relationship that I know is a unique one between OMB and this committee, and I look forward to that continuing. And also, if I may, Mr. Chairman, want to thank the OMB staff. You know, you don't know, at least I didn't know when I accepted the president's invitation for nomination, what happens next. Some may think that what happens next is you come before the committee. There's a number of preparation sessions that they provide briefings. I have no doubt. I have so much more to learn. But they have done an excellent job, and I want to thank them for their professionalism. OMB, the staff at OMB, as I've always heard, has a great reputation. I want to continue to build on that, Mr. Chairman. I can speak for so many public officials who interact with them that just want to say thank you. You're right, I have family here today. My wife Karen is here, and I want to thank her for her support. She stands by me with grace. It can't be easy to do that, with, as we all know, who have spouses who who deal with our public service, that's a challenge. But she does it with an inordinate amount of grace and understanding and patience, and I'm very, very blessed to have her by my side. As I stated when the president nominated me, Mr. Chairman, I feel truly humbled and privileged at this opportunity. If confirmed, I look forward to helping to develop the policies that will help keep us on the path to balance, keep our economy growing, address some of the biggest budget challenges that many of us discussed at our meetings in private, about entitlement spending growing at an unsustainable rate, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, huge out-year challenges that we are not tackling yet, but we need to tackle if we're going to be serious. If I should be confirmed by the Senate, I intend to work every day, wake up every morning, to try and deal with these challenges as straightforward as possible, and honor the responsibilities the President has nominated me to, and that I hope you will place upon me. I also have to tell you that it feels good to be back in Congress. It was in these halls that I learned some really amazing things. I've learned some very valuable lessons and met some incredible people and formed friendships that will last a lifetime. My very first chairman is in the room here today, Chairman Carper, who I served with in the House on the Banking Committee when I was detailed to that committee. I remember when then Minority Leader Bob Michael called me up and said, "You have to serve on the Banking Committee." But it was a pleasure serving with Chairman Carper. And my first vice chair is in the room here today, John Sununu. And Senator Sununu and I forged a friendship after we actually competed for the job. I don't know how it is, but there are days I have to say where I wish you would have won, Senator. but I appreciate that friendship, and I really do appreciate the chance to follow in the footsteps of Rob Portman and Josh Bolten and so many others who have demonstrated an ability to not only be a professional advocate and representative of the president, but to do so with grace and dignity, to be able to reach across party lines and to forge and continue to forge relationships here on the Hill. As I was trying to think of how to present this today, I can't help but flash back to a time when Senator Grassley was mentioning when I was a student 30 years ago at Luther College in a political science class, and my professor, Joan Thompson, who is now a professor up in Pennsylvania, decided that during our intro to Congress class, she was going to teach us about the federal budget process. And I have to tell you, at that time, I thought to myself, when in the world am I ever going to find this information useful at all? Do I really need to know this stuff about the budget? And what I learned, as you all know, is that the budget process interweaves everything we do on Capitol. I used to do on Capitol Hill, and it's an important part of everything that we do. I got hooked in this class on the budget, and I'll have to admit it. I'm a budget wonk. I love the budget. The budget process and everything about it that goes along with it. But never in a million years, as a 19-year-old college student at Luther in Decorah, Iowa, would I have thought I'd be sitting here today, and let alone having been chosen by my peers to serve on the House Budget Committee and to be chair, and I'm honored by that. It's truly an honest, awesome thought for me, and I hope my daughter Sarah and son Mark, who are teenagers, learn a lesson from this, as well as many other students who sometimes I hear when they say, you know, why do I have to know this? My story, I suppose, is a lesson of listening and learning, even at times when you don't know exactly why you're doing it. Because you really don't know where life is going to take you. Listening and learning has been something that I've always taken very much to heart in my 16 years as I was blessed to represent Iowa in the House of Representatives. I believe we all govern better when we listen and learn from not only each other but the people that we represent. Should I be confirmed by the Senate, I intend to continue that philosophy that my parents first taught me were important, and that the people of Iowa really cemented for me, that listening, learning, teamwork, and honesty is paramount. Mr. Chairman and Ranking Member Collins and members of the committee, I'm eager to answer your questions and the committee's questions, and I very much look forward to continuing to work with you and I ask for consideration in my nomination.